afternoon. Hello. Happy to see your guys' faces here today. And are we enough post-lunch that you were all awake, or are we still too post-lunch? Somehow I always get the post-lunch session, and I got to do my little song and dance to make sure everyone stays awake. It's good to be here together with you. My name is Stephanie Chappelle. I have the great, great privilege of serving you all as the field director and based now out of the National Chi Alpha Ministry Center. And I would like to just take this moment to introduce myself to you as we get into our session today. I am the very grateful fruit of Chi Alpha. There was a Chi Alpha on my campus who, when I was a freshman, didn't wait for me to go find them, but they came and found me. And for 3 years, the students and staff of Chi Alpha loved me, and they showed me how real Jesus is reflected through their lives. I had never seen that. 4 years of high school, I never remember meeting one Christian. If anybody on my high school campus knew Jesus, nobody was talking about him. So I get to the university campus, and for the first time in my life, I encounter these Christians that I thought were intriguing and slightly weird. Is that okay to say? And my little school, I went to a school called University of the Pacific in California, 3,600 students, and God had done something so beautiful on our campus. There was quite a remnant of his people. In fact, there were Christians all over the place. My freshman year, I get there. My RA is a believer. Before we ever showed up on campus, my RA had gone in and prayed over every one of us in our little section of the residence hall. There were 21 of us. He prayed over every one of us before we ever got there. So literally before I ever stepped foot on campus as a first year student, someone from Chi Alpha was praying for me. And God moved so dramatically in that little section there. Several people came to faith. We actually had two things spread that first year, my freshman year. The gospel spread, several people came to faith, and chicken pox also spread. True story. And so it actually, in the rest of our residence hall, people were like, don't go down to First Mideast. That was the section that ours was called. Don't go down to First Mideast because you'll either get God or chicken pox. And true story. So the Lord did something really beautiful in the lives of a lot of students. My roommate became a Christian midway through my freshman year. She was a sophomore transfer student. My first year, and she came to faith. She immediately got connected in Chi Alpha and started telling all of Chi Alpha that we need to pray for Stepha. Stepha needs to meet Jesus. And next thing I know, Chi Alpha was after me, right? It was like every time I turned around, they were there. I was like, oh, there's another one of them, you know. Kind of freaked me out a little bit, and I, you know, turned to go another way. I was like, oh, they're everywhere. And but I'm so grateful for their persistence. I tell people that they persisted when I resisted, and they loved me for over 3 years. Loved me and showed me the life of Jesus, and they prayed me into the kingdom of God. What I didn't realize going into the beginning of my senior year of college, I got a job on campus as the director of the programming board. I look back now, I was completely unqualified for that job. I don't know how I got it, other than the fact that the staff advisor was a lady who worked for the university. She was a staff advisor for my new role. She and her husband were best friends with the guy who had been my RA, who had first prayed for us. And she began, I won't tell the whole story, although it is beautiful. She reached out to me and asked me where I was in terms of my relationship with Jesus. We were actually driving on the highway at 65 miles per hour. She said, where are you with God? And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't get out of the car. You know, I just thought, there's no way I could live if I jump, you know? And she began to just tell me her story. She began to tell me her story, and I thought, you know what, I could possibly relate to somebody. I could possibly relate to her story. And she wrapped up those words with these, or her story with these words. She said, if you would like to, I'd love to meet with you once a week and just talk about the things of God. And I meant to say no, but yes came out of my mouth. Absolute true story. Yes came out of my mouth. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was, oh no, I'm stuck now, you know? And so she and I started meeting. And I was literally discipled into the faith. She and I started meeting. I just took all my questions. She said, you know what? Bring me your questions. If I know things, I'll share with you what I know. If I don't know, then we'll just find out together. And the integrity of that was essential for me. I didn't want anybody who was just going to throw stuff at me. If she didn't know, I wanted to know that we could learn this thing together. And so that's what we did. And I came to faith primarily through Chi Alpha, and as well as her name is Sandy Tilton, longtime friend, my she and her husband, my first supporters, still supporting me 27 years as of next month. And she discipled me into the family of faith. And then immediately as I got connected into Chi Alpha, I had the great benefit of having what you guys have experienced and what you guys offer in terms of a beautiful discipleship relationship. My first Chi Alpha staff discipler mentor was a lady named Karen, Karen Leonard. She became Karen Hulbert. And I remember just her investing, just life. And just we would go, I mean, we'd spend hours together and we'd go to lunch together and I remember her taking me to the Word and helping me understand the reality of what eternity without Christ was like. I remember, and I was like, well, Karen, well, you know, if this is real, like life, you know, eternity without, we need to tell people. She's like, I know. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I was like, we need to tell people. She's like, I do know. And I proceeded to tell her that she didn't understand, but I was still learning in my youth. So I thought everybody in the church experienced the kind of discipleship I had experienced. I just know people sat me down, looked me in the eye, asked me how I was doing, talked about Jesus, helped me understand how to read the Word, helped me understand how to pray, work with me, helped me in my, you know, I'd try to pray and I'd fail and I'd, you know, kind of get back up and they'd encourage me. I just thought that's the way it was. When I went into the internship, I continued to be discipled by Karen, and then I left my my school, University of the Pacific, and went to a school called Chico State University, where I went on staff, my first year on staff, and I looked long and hard for someone to disciple me. And I'm still looking for someone to disciple. You know what I mean? Like I didn't realize as I left the internship and kind of stepped into a staff role where I was the primary women's campus pastor at the time, and I wanted someone to invest into me the way I had been invested in for so long, and there was really nobody there. I was the women's campus pastor, and then I looked around the church, and people didn't really seem to know what that meant, and I just thought, my goodness, how am I, you know, I just want someone to disciple me. And so I learned kind of different ways to kind of have occasional mentors or occasional disciplers. I'd meet with people on occasion for maybe a specific area. But that was a little bit of the journey where I'd come from. But I want to fast forward to something that we're going to talk about today. We're talking about spiritual direction and the contemplative disciple. About 5 or 6 years ago, I was exposed to something that we're going to talk about that has really been a beautiful it's met a great, great need in my life in terms of helping me develop my relationship with Christ, helping me develop my relationship as I grow and learn more about God. But we, you know, as I said, there wasn't necessarily a built-in discipler for me at some point. I don't know if you guys have felt that too. I see some heads nodding there. They're not necessarily someone who's just ready to rock and roll and be like, okay, let's meet once a week and, you know, let's talk about the things of God. And that may not necessarily be the reality of where you are, but I think we'll talk about some stuff that will be helpful in that. As we do that, I want to start by something, a quote that's been really meaningful for me by someone named Ruth Haley Barton. She said, "Your desire for more of God than you have right now, your longing for love, your need for deeper levels of spiritual transformation than you have experienced so far, is the truest thing about you." Your desire for more of God than you have right now, your longing for love, your need for deeper levels of spiritual transformation than you've experienced, is the truest thing about you. And I want that to be the foundation of what we're talking about today. I hope that encourages you. I hope that gives you a little bit of hope. I hope you let it sink in. We're in a room full of leaders here, and I don't know if you guys experienced this in your own walk, but I know as leaders, we are accustomed, we are trained, we are wired to always think about how to do something better. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever gone, this is so terrible. I've gone to like new churches or something like that, or get a new small group. And like, I almost can't stop my mind from thinking, well, how did they greet me? How would I change that? You know, have you ever been in someone else, like a small group and something else? And you're just thinking, you know, my confession to you, I've been in churches where I've gone to the small group and I think, wow, I've been training people to lead small groups well for 20 something years. And like, this is actually painful. Being in here, you know, we are wired in a lot of ways to keep looking how to make things better. But I want to pause that for a moment, because I know that you all want to grow in your own relationship with Jesus, and you should, and I should. But let's pause for a minute and be grateful for the fact that the truest thing about you is that you long for more of God. you actually want God. It's not just about tweaking your quiet time. It's that you long for more of God. So with that, let me pray. Gracious God, we're here because we do long for you. I know we're here at this professional development conference, and we're going to keep growing, and we want to keep growing how we minister and how we serve and how we disciple and mentor and all those things. But first and foremost, God, we long for more of you. And that is the truest thing about us. It's not our lack of discipline that is the truest thing about us. It's not our failure. It's not our feeble attempts. It's not all those things. The truest thing about us is that we are yours and we want more of you. And God, I pray today that you would awaken us in a really beautiful way. Amen. Amen. So today, spiritual direction for the contemplative disciple. I'm going to introduce contemplative spirituality and some ancient practices, including spiritual discipleship or spiritual direction. I'll offer definitions and stuff. I'm also going to have my friend Gil Banton come in and integrate in part of the time. Gil and Lindsay are the directors of Chi Alpha at University of Connecticut in New England, and Gil has been going through a process of being directed by a spiritual director, as well as being trained to be a spiritual director. And so he's got a wealth to offer us as well, and I asked him to join us. But some of what I'd like to do is turn the kaleidoscope a little bit on what we already know. Have you guys ever looked at a kaleidoscope and, you know, you look through, it's this beautiful picture, you turn it, and it's all the same elements in there, but you get a new picture just because of the reflection? I'm hoping to turn the kaleidoscope a little bit for us today, and it's going to go up against the same, you know, it's the same elements that a lot of what we've been talking about and a lot of what we've been trained, but it'll give us a new picture. And this, what we're talking about is, Gil and I were praying before, it's kind of, in some ways, kind of new to us, maybe 5-6 years for me. But this is like centuries and centuries and centuries of people walking with Jesus and discerning the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so we're just, in some ways, I'm such a novice at this, like compared to 2,000 years of, you know, and going back to the early church fathers. But I think different streams in Christianity offer and value different things. Now, we're at Chi Alpha. I love Chi Alpha. I'm born and raised in terms of my spiritual life in Chi Alpha, and I love what we bring to the table, and I love what our larger AG fellowship brings to the table. And I have friends in other Christian streams who bring other things to the table. I think we bring things to the table, like, you know, I love the fact that we actually believe like the Holy Spirit still works today, does supernatural things today, the gifts are in action today. God heals people still today. I'll never forget my first pastor was diagnosed in 1990 with abnormal multiple myeloma. The doctor said, if you have chemotherapy right now, you could live 5 years. If you don't, you'll be dead within 2 years. Our church went through 40 days of prayer and fasting. My pastor actually said to his doctor, I'll be back in 6 weeks. And the doctor said, you don't understand. You can't mess with this. He said, I'll be back in 6 weeks. We went through 6 weeks of prayer and fasting. He went back, got tested. The doctor said, I don't understand, Reverend, where did you put your cancer? He said, I put it in the arms of Jesus. And he lived for 20 more years. He just died in 2015. He lived for 25 years. That was formational for me. I'm like, dude, if I were cancer, I would not mess with God. You know what I'm saying? Why everybody doesn't get healed, I don't know, but I do. I mean, we have seen God work supernaturally. We've seen the gifts in action. I think our expressiveness is something beautiful, you know? I think our outreach, I think our desire for the fact that we're evangelicals, that we believe in mission, all those things are so beautiful. We bring it to the table. But I also know that there are other streams who bring things to the table that are just as beautiful. I have friends who are in different Christian streams, man. They talk about reflection and slowing and silence. There's not a lot of silence in Assemblies of God churches. Let's just be honest. There's not. You've been around longer than I have. I don't know a lot of them that have a lot of silence, you know. But I have a lot of friends in other streams, and they the solitude and silence and all these beautiful things, how they engage scripture and they talk about. I mean, I remember living on campus. I lived on campus for 5 years at Georgetown University, and I was a chaplain in a freshman dorm. I worked with some Jesuits who talked constantly about the presence of the Holy Spirit. part of me are like, oh, you don't understand. I'm Pentecostal. We don't know the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? But the Jesuits I worked with, they loved deeply the presence of the Holy Spirit. And they did it in a way that looked a little different than we do. And so I think of all of the blessings and benefits that our stream tends to bring. I think, you know, we bring a lot of activity, but here's what I'd like to turn the kaleidoscope a little bit, because I think activity is the default of our stream in a lot of ways. I think we're doers. I think we're really good at doing. I think we're doers. And I am the quintessential doer. I have like a double portion of productivity DNA from my parents. My dad used to wake us up at 7 in the morning and say, wake up, be productive. It's 7 o'clock. I was like, it's Saturday, it's 7. You know, wake up, be productive. My mom, same thing. I've got a double portion of productivity. But even then, there are times I feel like, do I fit? Because I long for the contemplative. I long for silence and solitude. I long for reflection. I long to pause and listen way more than I speak. Activity is the default, I think, in a lot of ways of what we, many of us, have kind of been grown, raised with in our spiritual background. And I think sometimes that ends up being reflected by things like, if I could just tweak my quiet time, if I could just do this other thing, then I'd have a really, really, really good quiet time. And I'm not sure that our hunger is fully satisfied by more activity. The hunger that we talked about, Ruth Haley Barnes, your hunger for more of God is the truest thing about you. I'm not sure that more activity is necessarily the answer for that hunger. I do think activity is part of it. I do think we put our hand to the plow, so I'm not talking about inactivity. But Jesus discipled those men out of who he was, not out of a curriculum. Now hear me. Nothing wrong with the curriculum in and of itself, but we got to ask ourselves, what is the source? Jesus discipled those men. He mentored those men out of who he was more than anything else. And so even this week, friends, as we are here again at this professional development conference, which I think is actually pretty good, I think it's pretty good. It can't be about what we do. It must be an overflow of who we are. Please don't look just for the methods this week or even in this session. So where we're going today, couple practical things where we're going to go. We're going to talk about the practice of spiritual direction. We're going to talk about a prayer practice called the daily examine. And we're going to talk about engaging in scripture in a new way, maybe a new way. It might not be new for you, but new. It was a new way for me. My hope is that this is going to be nourishing for you. And I know you're going to naturally think of how can I invest this into my students, and I hope you do. I want, because I also think our students, I think, how many of you guys have thought or said, this is the most stressed out generation, especially those of you who have been around a while, who've been doing this. This is the most stressed out, anxiety driven generation of students that we. I mean, it is amazing. When I lived on campus, so many of the students would come and get a one-on-one with me, and they would start with, I just have so much anxiety. I'm not sure that more activity is going to help bring healing to their anxiety. So this is for you. This is for them. And we're going to blend in and out during that time. I'll just trust you to apply it. But let's talk for a moment about spiritual direction, this practice of spiritual direction. And I'm going to hand you at the end a little thing that you can put in your Bible. I've opted not to give it now. I think it actually has it's got definitions and stuff. Feel free to take pictures of that or write it down. But I also know that when I get something right there, I immediately go to that and I stop listening. So spiritual direction is a relationship that allows one to assist another in discerning God's activity in present and presence in his or her life. Now, I'm going to be real careful how I do this, but I want to draw a little bit of a contrast between discipleship and spiritual direction here. I really think they're from the same tree. Maybe a different branch is what we're talking about today. Scott said earlier, he said last night, he said discipleship is the relationship of taking people from where they are to where they need to be to fulfill God's plan for their lives. And everyone said amen. You know, discipleship is the relationship of taking people from where they are to where they need to be. It's relational. It's foundational. A disciple, you know, what is a disciple? What's the basic definition of a disciple? Someone tell me. Follower. Anything else? Yes. Learner? Yes. Follower, learner. I mean, when we see in scripture with Jesus and the disciples, I mean, he's rabbi, he's teacher with his disciples. And he wasn't the only one. That was their cultures. You have the rabbi, you have the learner. You know, you have the rabbi who's the teacher, and you have the disciple who's the learner. And that really is, in essence, what discipleship is about. It's foundational. You guys, I would have been a hot mess had I not had that discipleship. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember at one point thinking, I was like, okay, well, let's see, I should probably pray. Just had started stepping into the things of faith. And I was like, okay, let's see. I didn't know anything. I was like, okay, the Ten Commandments. Well, I didn't covet my neighbor's donkey. I didn't covet my neighbor's wife. You know what I mean? Like, you're just going through. I didn't even know how to, like, adjust anything. I didn't break the Sabbath. I didn't know what a Sabbath was. I don't think I broke the Sabbath. I didn't break anything today, you know? And I just remember going through there thinking, I didn't sin today. Well, good night, God. You know, I mean, like, but if I didn't have someone sitting me down, looking me in the eye, saying, let's get into the scriptures together and build that foundation, I really would have been a hot mess. And that's what you guys, that's what we do every day with students. That's what we do with maybe some of the younger interns or younger staff or anything like that. So we have this incredible thing called discipleship. But I would say where discipleship perhaps maybe a little bit more foundational. In some ways, it's part of the foundation building. Spiritual direction may be for kind of, not the next step, but there's an assumption of some level of maturity when I look at this definition. Let me say this again. Spiritual direction is a relationship that allows one to assist another in discerning God's activity and presence in his or her life. Let me give you a strange example. I have a good friend who was having conversation with some college students. She was speaking somewhere, and she said she was meeting, just after the service, she was chatting with this student who was a Christian. She had come into faith, and that young woman was talking about how happy the Lord was when she was sleeping with her boyfriend. I know, right? And she was like, oh, I just feel the Lord. He's just so, I just feel the Lord's joy. I'm going to pause right there. It was not the Lord's joy you were feeling. Sorry. I'm so sorry. That's on. That was recorded. But she was, you know what I'm saying? So she was just like, because outside of a foundation, you can make anything you want to make, right? You know what I'm saying? You can make anything, which is why discipleship is, it's, man, this is life right here. And hopefully someone had the opportunity with her in her discipleship experience to sit down and let's look at the Word of God with regard to what God asks of us with regard to our sexuality. So there's a foundation. Spiritual direction does assume some level of maturity there, but it allows one to assist another in discerning God's activity and presence in his or her life. This has been life-changing for me. I mentioned to you guys, I was like, oh, I got to have someone disciple me. A handful of years later, I started encountering a lot of this stuff and met with a lady who was a spiritual director. We met once a week for about a year. Once a week is a little more than most spiritual directors do, but I was in a process called the Spiritual Exercises from St. Ignatius. It's this like 8 to 10 month retreat, they call it. And that came with meeting with a spiritual director once a week for that entire time. And this has been, I've met with now probably 3 or 4 over the last several years. And as my spiritual director would ask things like, Stephanie, what is God saying to you in this situation? I'll just come in. This is real life. Hey, this is what I'm going through. This is what's going on at work. And she would ask me questions like, where is God in all this? What is God saying to you? One of my favorite questions she would say is, what is God's invitation to you? I'd be right in the middle. I remember my first year walking through having a spiritual director. I remember walking through just a really, really painful relational situation. And I remember her saying to me, what is God's invitation to you here? And it brought some life. It brought some meaning to a really hard, hard year for me. What might God be calling you into would be another question that she would ask. And I hope in using those examples, helps illustrate a little bit of the difference. Discipleship, a little bit more foundational, like let's get in, let's learn how to read the Word, let's dig a little bit deeper in the Word, you know, where spiritual direction a little bit more like, I want to help you begin to discern the activity, voice, and presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm going to pause there for a second and hand it to Gil.
And so my journey to spiritual direction, I've been in Chi Alpha for 15 years, and I think if Stepha would have probably, when she heard that I was in spiritual direction, would probably been like, Gil is in spiritual direction, because everybody who knows me knows I'm loud. I don't always think what I'm saying, right? And I just do dumb stuff sometimes. And I love Jesus, and I was passionately love Jesus. So my wife and I, about seven years ago, we moved to the University of Connecticut. We were directors in Virginia, and we were rocking it. God was just moving. And God said, what about my lost in Connecticut? And as you know, you get stuff in your head, right? But what you're going to do and what God's going to do. And what happens when that doesn't happen? What happens when you have district leaders saying to you, why aren't you like so-and-so? And I think sometimes, at least for me, I think for a lot of leaders, we're really good at memorizing scripture. We're really good at striving and living missionally. And I think especially for Chi Alpha, that's what I love about us. We take that Holy Spirit and we go, we're going to win the campus. Like that's Scott, that message last night. That is who we are. And I believe that. But for me, I got in spiritual direction. I remember, I don't know if you remember this. I came up to you at a retreat. I was recruiting. And I was on the verge, like Lindsay and I were on the verge of just giving up. Because I love Jesus, but I wasn't hearing his voice, right? I'm looking at everybody's telling me everything else. And so my challenge, the reason I just believe in this is that anyway, she hooked me up with somebody who was doing informal spiritual direction, but he was basically doing spiritual direction. He's never been trained, but he was doing spiritual direction. And then I got into, that just like changed my life, because here's what it did. Once a month, someone sat down with me and they said, we prayed and we were quiet. And like John 10:10 is one of my favorite verses of scripture, right? But part of that scripture, I'm not going to deem as my favorite one. Part of it is talking about the shepherd, right? And it says, my sheep will know my voice. And this man helped me hear God's voice. I think a lot of times we hide behind so many different things. I know I did. And spiritual direction allowed me to take, at very least once a month, or in Stepha's case, once a week, a pause and just sit in the presence of God and have someone look me in the eyes and go, how is your soul today? Yeah. And so that's why I'm in spiritual direction. And my journey towards becoming a spiritual director was simply, I'm looking around and having conversations with people like you. And I'm going, God, they need this. Because I have a belief, guys, that if we have healthy souls, we're going to be better campus ministers. We're going to work less and get more accomplished, because we're going to be able to put our sails up and hear the wind of the Spirit. And so if you look at our ministry today, I think we're successful. I'm just really excited that Stepha didn't introduce us as pioneers, because some people would still see us as pioneers because we only have 15, 20 students. But we have 15, 20 students in New England, and most of them came to Christ on that campus. And I'm just telling you, man, I slow down now so that I can speed up. It says Psalm 46:10, I'm going to hand it back, but I just want to leave this verse with you. I was on a spiritual retreat, silent retreat, and God really laid this on my heart. Psalm 46:10, and it says, be still and know that I am God. It doesn't say, be still and read that I am God. We need the word of God. But in that moment, in those woods, sweating, just sitting on the side of this hot, looking at this beautiful lake, God said, just be still and know me. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him in a way that is not deeper than scripture, but scripture leads you into it. Which is why what she's getting ready to share with you about the scripture and how to hear from scripture in a second is going to be really, really powerful, because these things interact. Scripture show us where to find Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And so, be still.
Thanks, Gil. I was meeting with some really phenomenal women last week and asked this question, because I want to come back to this. It's assisting one another in discerning God's activity and presence, and I would say voice in their life. And I asked a group of women, you know, what what's God saying? What's God's activity in your life? And someone I really, really respect, I've known for a lot of years, said, you know what? I've been running so hard and so fast, I'm not sure right now. This makes me think, man, I got to slow down and pause and ask God and just begin to discern. God, help me discern. What are you doing in my life? What are you saying? And I like one woman said that a good spiritual director simply holds the door open for God. I love that. Just hold the door open for God. Now, we're just giving you guys a taste of this because there's, you know, Gil and I were laughing. We're like trying to get so much in about contemplative spirituality. We're like shoehorning it into an hour and 15 minutes, you know, and like Gil's in like a 2-year training process. You know, I've been looking at that and I'll share you a little bit more about some options and stuff. But there's so much that we would love to be able to share. I wish we had hours and hours, but we're just a little bit of a taste. And I want to do this for a minute. I'm going to take the next 2 to 3 minutes and ask you guys to share at your tables. Cause, again, thinking about this for you or tables, share at the wall. Thinking about this for your students. Cause again, I think all of these things are part of the same tree, maybe a different branch on the same tree. But as you think about the students, like you've got some brand new students who are, man, they're just coming out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light, you know, of light. And man, like, let's get them into the word, man. Let's get, you know, let's teach. I remember my discipler teaching me how to pray. She made me pray. She's like, okay, you pray for this. And then she closed her eyes and waited for me. And I was so awkward about it. You know, that was part of my discipleship process is you're going to learn to pray because I'm going to have you pray for me. Things like, our students need that. But I also wonder if maybe as some of our students are getting a little bit older, helping them understand what it means to pause and really discern the presence of the Lord. What is God saying? When we know that they're grounded, they're not going to come up with, yeah, the Lord's really pleased that I'm sleeping with my boyfriend, you know, like that kind of thing, you know. And so I'm going to actually take 2 to 3 minutes. 2 to 3 minutes and just, you know, what might this mean for students in your guys' ministries? And then I'll come back. We're going to talk about engaging with the word.
I'm going to be a little bit more.
Let's take about 30 more seconds, friends. All right, let's gather back in. Let's gather back in, friends. I'm going to work to leave some space at the end for some dialogue, Q&A if we need. There's a particular exercise that we want to do, a prayer exercise we're going to walk through. I want to make sure I leave room for that. So we'll kind of keep going and then circle back around for some Q&A. I want to take a few moments now and talk about engaging with Scripture. I am a word girl. I am a word girl. I love the Word of God. I just kind of growing up in my own relationship with Jesus. I think some people are like this. Some people kind of lean one way or the other. I've had to learn to grow into prayer. Word, just for some reason, I had just this voracious appetite for the Word. I love the Scriptures. The Old Testament used to completely freak me out. And I spent about a year and a half asking the Lord to help me understand the Old Testament. And then for some reason, something just started to click. And I was like, I can't get enough of this. I mean, I just felt so much joy, you know, engaging and reading all these things for the first time. I was like, did anybody know this was in there? You know, I mean, it was just so good. So, and I just have this incredible, I love the Word of God. There's a value to ingesting the Scriptures. I mean, even now, one of the practices I have right now is I'm trying to listen to the Sermon on the Mount. I'm trying to listen in the mornings. So I will, a lot of times as I'm getting ready, take my Bible app and listen to Matthew 5 or 6 or 7 or all three. I did that today. I just listened to them all three, because there's just something about taking it in. I'm also currently reading through 1 Samuel, just about a chapter a day or so. I'm looking into the narrative stories. I love to see how the stories of the kings relate to leadership. I love leadership stuff, and I'm going through all this, and it's just so good. And those are amazing things, but I also want to make sure that I'm not reading for information only, but I'm reading for transformation. And so I want to talk about reading for transformation here. You know, I think in my early years, I think I was trying so hard to have the perfect quiet times. You know, anyone done that? Like, if I had the perfect quiet time, I'd reach the third heaven and all. And, you know, there was a lot of lot of faith, but a lot of expectation built up to having just this incredible time and having all kinds of glory in the Word. Like, especially I was saying, you know, when I was reading through the Old Testament, I was like, this is amazing. Let me just say, it didn't stay amazing forever. You know, and then, you know, I was trying so hard to reach the third heaven and having great times, and then, you know, still striving so hard. And then I think in some ways the pendulum swung a little bit, and I became accustomed to the idea that the disciplines are discipline. And I knew that if I just kept doing the right thing, just kept taking in the Word, just kept praying, that over the course of my life, it was going to dramatically change my life, even if it felt like nothing happened that day. You know what I mean? And that's just some of the reality. I think that we grow accustomed to the discipline of the disciplines, and we're okay with that. I think sometimes what happens, at least for me, is then I begin to fall into a pattern of very low expectations. Well, I'll just read, just check it off the list. You know, it's just easy to do that as well. And I think at that point, application becomes the primary goal. And I think application is essential. You know, like Eli said today, be doers of the Word. You know, not just hearers. I would tell our group, and I pastored our campus, our ministry in California, I'd be like, James 1 says, be doers of the Word, not just hearers, lest you be deceived. I don't want to be the pastor of a bunch of deceived people. And I don't want to be deceived myself. So we're going to be doers of the Word. I deeply believe that. Deeply believe that. But I will take it one more step and quote Eli again today. We will do for love what we don't do for other reasons. So there is, I think there is a way to engage and be transformed by the power of the Spirit as we're engaging with Scripture. And so I want to talk briefly about that. And I missed this in all the incredible discipleship in my early years. I missed this until maybe the last handful of years. Some of the ways I approach Scripture now. Again, I ingest Scripture. I'm listening to the Word. I'm reading the Word. But I also have found that there's a way to slow. I love the way Gil said it. I think you said, we're going to go slow to speed up. Or sometimes I think we need to do less for greater growth. And so one of the ways that has helped me in that is the way I engage the Scriptures. There are times when I will have days or weeks or where I might just read a couple verses and plant myself there and soak in those and have a profound encounter with the Holy Spirit. Like, I didn't ingest very much, but I met with God. And one of the things I've learned in that process is just this little outline I want to give you guys. It's just been helpful to me as engaging the Scriptures. I didn't mean to make, there are three P's. I didn't mean to make them all three P's because of the preacher thing. It was just easy and I didn't even have to try. So the first one is preparation. We're really good at preparing the environment in a lot of ways, but I would ask you, how do you prepare yourself when you engage the Scriptures? And I have learned over the years, the last several years, to prepare my heart and my body and my environment. I mean, there are ways, you guys, even my environment. I don't know. If there's a lot of clutter, I'm totally distracted. And I just need to get out of the way. Some of you guys thrive in that, and that's awesome. I just need to prepare my environment, because preparing my environment helps me prepare my heart and mind. So there's just something about that. Preparing my environment. Light shining in my eyes, totally distracting. I just, overall environment. We do that when we're going to host people when they come to Chi Alpha. I want to prepare the environment to host the Holy Spirit. Could this be something that maybe we could grow in on our own lives? Could it be something maybe we could encourage our students to learn how to host the Holy Spirit, even in preparing their environment, preparing their bodies? I know if I'm physically uncomfortable, I am distracted. So I make sure I'm in a comfortable position, preparing my heart. There are things, you guys, that I have a couple things. I don't know if I'll share them, actually. There are a couple things that I regularly say as I'm entering into prayer. Now, this is interesting. How many of you guys have little kids, like little ones? Okay. A lot of my friends with little kids do this. When they have the bedtime routine, it's like two stories, three songs, a prayer, and it's the same ones every night, or, you know, the same maybe couple. And they say, you know, we put the kids to bed, we two stories, and then you get, you know, into the three songs, and by the second song, their eyes are getting a little sleepy, and, you know, and then, you know, by the third song, their eyes are really closed, and then quick prayer, and then they're gone. You know what I mean? There's something about the routine of that that tells them, it's like it prepares their bodies, it prepares their little hearts and minds, it's time to go to sleep. I wonder if there isn't something to that. And so there are a couple things that I regularly will pray and say in my preparation time. One of them I will share, I just learned it in that process. I'll just say, quieting myself, I become aware of being in the presence of God. I imagine myself looking at God, and God looking at me, loving me. Just a couple of lines that as I say those things, I say them prayerfully, it's amazing how it prepares my heart and mind. This is time to pray. This is time to engage with God. I don't know what yours would be. There are some people who love to pray the Lord's Prayer. I think from our stream, we tend to stay away from maybe some of the ancient prayers. I have found so much life in some of the ancient prayers, the Lord's Prayer. There's another one called Anima Christi. It's just life-giving to me. And I've got them memorized, and it's just part of my preparation. I wonder if that wouldn't be something that would be encouraging for you as you go in with the Lord. I invite the Holy Spirit to lead. I will say that I rarely invite the Holy Spirit to show up anymore. I'm just, you know what I mean? It's not, I never want people to feel like they can't do it, but I used to pray, God, Holy Spirit, come. And I think sometimes he's like, I'm right here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here. And so I ask him more often just to lead me, to guide me. And in that process, I will ask him to help me be attentive to him. I'm not begging him to show up. I understand, you know, the omnipresence of God. He is here. I understand that the manifest presence of God sometimes is reflected differently than the omnipresence of God. I love both, you know, but he is here. And it's really just a matter of my being attentive to his presence rather than begging him, please show up. And I mentioned there, historic prayer may be useful. I kind of jumped in. So that's a part of my preparation. And the next is to prayerfully read the passage. I mentioned to you, there are times when I'll just get stuck on a verse or a phrase or something like that. And there's so much nourishment to it. So I would encourage you, slowly engage the scripture. Again, I'm going to hand you something that will be helpful that you can slip into your Bible. This was helpful to me. My spiritual director would ask, what words stand out as you read? Is there something, I love the way she would say it to me, is there a word that shimmers, is what she would ask me. Is there a word that shimmers? You know, when you're reading through something that's like the Holy Spirit takes the highlighter of heaven and you're like, oh my goodness. Here's the thing, guys, as we engage the scripture, I think in my earlier days, I'd be like, oh wow, that's really good. And I'd move right on. But now I have become much more attentive to the Spirit's presence. If he's going to allow a word to shimmer, to capture my attention, it's time to pause. Let's pause there and see what the Lord wants to do. Is he trying to say something to me? What is his presence? And then I would go one step further and what are the emotions that accompany that? In my early years, I learned that emotions will take you down to a bad place. But I have learned since that they can be useful in the hands of God to reveal some things. We don't live by emotion, but they are, as my spiritual director used to say, they are data for discernment. They are data. So I was reading one of the passages that I have loved praying. I think it's in Proverbs 30. I have prayed this most of my Christian life. Keep deception and lies far from me. I don't know, for some reason, I think I would just see people stray and they would kind of get caught off into some things. And I just often pray, God, keep deception and lies far from me. The next part of that verse says something to the effect of, give me only my daily bread. And it says in the messages or the verse in there goes to talk about, don't give me too much, lest I become basically, I don't need you anymore. And don't give me too little, lest, hello, hello. It was shimmering. Don't give me too much, lest I stop being dependent on you. And don't give me too little, lest I dishonor your name. Like if I don't have enough and have to steal something, you know, that kind of thing, or dishonor you in some way. And I was reading through that. God, keep deception lies far from me. And then I read the next part of it and I physically clenched up. I physically got stressed. I'd never noticed this before, but I always used to skip over that other part. And I would just pass right by it. Well, this time I learned how to pay attention and I was like, okay, pause. Holy Spirit, you're up to something. What's going on here? And out of that process, just kind of sitting with the Lord, letting him reveal some stuff, I realized in there that whole passage is a passage of trust. God, just give me my daily bread. I don't give me too much. And I realized I didn't like that part. Because I wanted the Lord to give me more than I needed. So I didn't have to trust him. That little moment right there, just that little sense of, wow, God, you showed me something that I had not recognized for years. How easy it is for us to just kind of keep going, you know? And that was just like, and so, you know, the journey for me has just been to just wholeheartedly trust the Lord in all things. And that was one more little step that I had just never paid attention to. But it came from just that initial clench, like when I read through, I don't like that. I mean, let's be honest. You guys ever read something in scripture? You're like, nope, I'm going to keep reading. Pat, move that one on. You know, oh, are you kidding? If I have two cloaks to give one away? No, because I have a black one and a brown one. What if I wear clothes that need that color? You know what I mean? Like, no, seriously, like we kind of, you know, whatever. And so I would encourage you guys in those processes, what words stand out? Do you sense God's presence in any of it? And are there any emotions? And then we can offer those. We can let the Lord speak. And then the last part is the processing. My spiritual director would, in my prayer times, would never allow me to journal while I was in that prayer, when I was praying through that. That was an interesting, she just said, I want you to be fully present with God. And then you just take notes afterward. She said, and if the Lord wants you to remember it, he'll help you remember it. But this, I think this is, there's something about processing after you engage with scriptures. Maybe ask a couple questions. Was my prayer time, was it from the head, from my heart, or my or both? I don't know if you guys are like this, but I get stuck in my head. It is a long journey from the head to the heart. And if I don't pause and ask, is this also from my heart? Is it only from my head? Then I'm just going to keep going on in those, that pattern. What were the, I love this, what were the significant interior movements? Those are some of the, you know, what were you feeling? What was going on? Were you feeling, sensing the presence of the Lord? Were you sensing some anxiety when you were reading it? Jot that down. And then was there a word or phrase or memory that meant the most to you? We're going to jump over to the daily exam now. And again, I think we've got some time. And we don't have anywhere to be right after this. So Gil and I will stay here for some Q&A, but we're going to jump over briefly to some prayer stuff. And I want to, you know, there are two things I've never heard in all my years. Two things I've never heard. I've never heard anyone say, I'm totally satisfied with my prayer life. And I've never heard anyone say, I don't really need to learn anything about prayer. So this, again, part of the process of us growing. I would say in the last couple years, as I've really been engaged with this stuff that sounds, you know, but as I've learned some of these practices in terms of prayer, I've learned to go as Ruth Haley Barton says, from communication to communion. And we're going to give a practice that I think will be helpful. So, are you ready to jump in? Okay, let's do it.
All right. So close your journals. That's just right here. Yeah. So close your journals. And here's the thing, guys, we're just going to take a few minutes of silence. If you need to settle in, close your eyes. Like Stepha said, the Holy Spirit is here and he wants to meet with you right now. And we're going to go do that. The questions we'll be talking, if you want to open them back up in a minute, I'm going to have a moment of silence. I'll wait for everybody to settle and we'll start in on this prayer practice. So the daily examine, what it is we're going to go through a series of questions that just like spiritual direction are a series of questions to help you encounter Jesus. And what we're doing is we're looking past our day. So we're going in and we're going, where was God in this day? And sometimes I go through it and I feel like God wasn't there. And then after it, I'm like, no, he was. And this is something that I believe in, and Lindsay and I believe in so much. We actually do this with our kids almost every night. So this is something for literally everybody. So if you would just settle, get comfortable, quiet your mind. God's presence as you become still. Pay attention to God's presence, which is here. Expressing thankfulness for the benefits, gifts, and graces of your day today. your day, take account for where your soul is. Where is God's presence? Where were the invitations to grow in love? Where did you act contrary to your better judgment? Or to God's voice? Through those things that Jesus spoke to you. Ask for forgiveness. Release that to Jesus. And feel the weight release. Resolving to grow. Ask God for His grace that you'll need tomorrow. So as we close out this time of prayer, I'm going to invite you, if this, some things might have happened that you weren't aware of, like stuff I talked about, God might have spoken something powerful to you, or there might have been some other things happening. I would say that if something happened and you do want to talk that out a little more, I think we'd be available for that. But particular, if you want to write that down right now as she's transitioning, she'll give you a couple minutes, briefly. But make a brief note about what God's doing, and maybe come back to that later tonight in prayer and try this over again with the resources we'll give you. So.
Have just walked through a prayer, I'd almost say framework, I don't know if that's the best word, but followers of Jesus have prayed through the daily examine for over 500 years. It was introduced by a man named Saint Ignatius of Loyola, and as we mentioned, it's a technique of prayerful reflection on the events of your day in order to detect God's presence and discern His direction. As I pray through the daily examine, I become much more aware of the presence of God in my life. Part of it is just pausing and listening. Part of it is, as Gil walked us through, just getting into a time of stillness, and then the gratitude aspect. Man, that's powerful. I don't know about you guys, but I run through my day and miss the benefits, the blessings, the gifts and the graces because I'm, you know, running awfully fast. But when I pause and I think through my last 24 hours and think, God, what gifts have you offered? I have never, ever come up empty-handed. I have never walked away with a blank sheet. And it could be something as simple as, oh my goodness, that sweet conversation that I had with a friend. It could be, you know, wow, I was, you know, short on time and I was actually nice at the grocery store when the line was long. And God, you were clearly there helping me. That is a victory for me. You have to understand. Maybe a financial, but whatever. It's just taking a look at the last 24 hours and saying, God, what are the blessings that you have brought into my life? What are the gifts, the graces? And then going in, and as Gil said, taking an account of our soul, where were those times? And again, sometimes I miss this too because I'm running 100 miles an hour on a normal day. And then sometimes I may look back too and think, wow, I really was kind of rude at the grocery store. And I ran out so fast I didn't pay attention. Wow, God, forgive me, help me. You know, there's just something about looking back and integrating that reflection time into our regular life that allows us to sense God's presence and discern His direction for us. So we'll have that. We'll have this for you. Okay, so where do we go from here? That's my favorite. Where do we go from here? Can you imagine? They'd be like, oh, bummer. we want to encourage you on a couple things. This, as we said, I mean, we have centuries of beautiful content that we've been exposed to, and we're talking about it in 75 minutes. Let me encourage a few things. Begin practicing the daily examine. In fact, I'm going to ask Gil to pass these out. I set them up in about 10, so you can hit all the thing. Begin practicing the daily examine. When I walked through that 10-month retreat with the spiritual director, it was a specific thing, but for about the first 2 months, the only thing she asked me to do was to pray the daily examine every day for 2 months. I began to be very accustomed to pausing and saying, okay, God, what have you been doing? What have you been saying in my life today? It's been so rich, so fruitful. And again, I've never come up empty-handed. You know what I mean? I've never missed, you know, like when I've sat down and said, God, what have you blessed me with today? I've never missed it. And when I've said, God, where have been the places maybe that I missed your presence or missed an invitation to be loving? I've also never come up empty-handed for that. You know what I mean? God, let me just say, the Holy Spirit is faithful to show us. But don't we want that? Don't we want to keep our accounts short? Don't we want, I always like, God, I want to hear the voice of God. So if you're going to try to speak to me about your blessings or about some area that you know, where I missed an invitation to love somebody well, I really want to lean in and listen because I want to listen to you in other times as well. approach scripture, the second thing, with the intention to engage. Again, I am not saying, like, if you're like I'm reading my Bible in a year, I'm not trying to steer you away from that. Keep doing that. But maybe a couple times a week, integrate this different way, if it's new for you, to integrate with or to engage with scripture by just pausing. If there's something, read through one of the Psalms. I'm telling you what, you read through almost any Psalm and you're going to pause on something. Something in there is going to be like, whoa, you know, and just pause there for a few minutes and allow the Lord to speak to you. I would say integrate time for reflection into your daily schedule. I didn't really get into this, but I could spend hours and hours on this one. I think we are running from the one thing to the next so fast, so hard, all the time. And we might, I hope you do, have some time for reflection, like on your staff teams, to like actually say, how did fall startup go? What did we learn? What can we celebrate? How can we grow? I hope you do that in ministry. If you don't, please do that in ministry. But even more so in your own life with God, pause. Gil and Lindsay were so kind to gift me with a planner. I'm like a planner freak, and I am. When I was a kid, I used to stand in front of the stationery section in the store, and I was like, oh, you know what I mean? I just love that stuff. But it's interesting that this planner here allows for some time as you're going through it, like spend some time reflecting on your week. Spend some time reflecting on what you want out of your weekend. Oh my goodness, what an amazing thought. Like, how do you want to, even one of the questions is, do you want to take a nap this weekend? Yes. But you know what I mean? Like, just take, like pause, think through your week, you know? What did you learn? Again, I keep coming, what can we learn? What can we celebrate? Rather than running into the next week, and I know for me, running and making the same mistakes from last week because I didn't pause. I didn't learn. I didn't celebrate. So begin to integrate some reflection, even if that means somewhere in there 5 minutes. Like even with the daily exam, you guys, I pray this regularly. Sometimes don't be bound to it. Sometimes I only pray through the first couple steps. And then honestly, sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to go. I'm late to work again, you know, but that's okay. Or sometimes I just feel I get stuck on gratitude, and that's okay. Sometimes I go through it all and it might take me 5 minutes. Sometimes it takes me 15 minutes. So don't get bound with time like that with reflection. Don't get bound with time. Take 5 minutes in your day. Pause. How did the day go? What can we learn? What can we celebrate? And then consider meeting with a spiritual director. I'm going to give some resources to that. I know, we touched so little on it, but here's my thing. I have had a deep conviction since I was exposed to all this. I remember saying to Harv Herman, Chi Alpha would love this. I think we've got staff on the field and we've got missionaries on the field that if they just had somebody to sit with them once a month and say, what's God saying? What's the presence of God like in your life right now? How's your soul? I love that. I think it was the early Methodists used to ask each other, how is it with your soul? I had a friend come to visit. She came to St. Louis. I can't remember where I am right now. Phoenix. Okay, so it's not here. Sorry, I do that all the time. I was almost said my friend came here. She came to St. Louis. She's one of my Catholic friends who was a chaplain at Georgetown. We sat down for dinner. She looked me in the eye and she said, how's your prayer life? And I thought, nobody asked me that. Everybody assumes my prayer life is great. And sometimes it is. And sometimes it's not so great. And my Catholic friend looked me in the eye. And said, because she's been exposed to a lot of this. How is it with your soul? You guys, I think we need people in our lives to look and say, how is it with your soul? What's God saying? And that may be something if you find somebody. I'm going to give you a website that could be a starting place for you on that. So let me give you a few resources. And it should be on your papers there. This book, Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, it's amazing. Gil was raving about it. And then I have to confess this. And then I found it on my bookshelf and I've had it for so long. It had a Borders bookstore tag on it. Borders has been closed for a long time, right? So I had evidently bought it, never got into it. Gil's raving about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's on my bookshelf. Loving it. Absolutely loving it. Are we out? Did we, can I send it? Are we totally out? Do we have any more? Wow. Okay, if you need one, I can email. My email is going to be up there in a moment. Wow, thank you for coming. Yay, a lot of you. So we'll get that to you. This book, I love it. The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, Practices That Transform Us. And I'm going to show you just a couple things with it. So here's one. It has, I don't know, like I can't remember how many different practices. And this one is entering into rest. This one's rest. I figured this would be a good one to talk about because usually Kayoff is tired, you know. So and it just kind of opens up with some different aspects. What is rest? Some scripture verses. It's deeply rooted. And then it goes into some, you know, little few comments and then reflection questions. This has been life-giving for me. It's on your page. And then it has some resources. That's just one thing. I started that recently. It's not the kind of book that you just kind of read through, rush through. I'm slowly taking my time and loving every single time I engage with it. It's been so good. Another one I would encourage you, Sacred Rhythms by Ruth Haley Barton. Anybody read that? Has anyone ever? So good. So good. Oh my gosh. I would say this. I would encourage you guys to start with this book. If you had to pick one, start here. I love this book. I'm reading it now for the third time. It's so nourishing. Sacred Rhythms, very fresh stuff on our devotional life. I really like her work. Another one is called Reimagining the Ignatian Examine. That is a book, the Daily Examine we just walked through. He's got like 30 different kind of frameworks. It's got some life to it. It's really fun. There's also an app for that. I'm going to show you in a minute. Some research podcasts, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. Again, Ruth Haley Barton. She's got like 3 or 4 seasons. She takes a lot of her work about silence, solitude, contemplative spirituality, has it in a podcast. Also, I recently experienced this. It's called the Practice Podcast that Willow Creek does. I have not listened to all of them, so I can't vouch for all of them. But what I've listened to so far has been very rich and nurturing. And so it's good. So if I'm not listening to the word, a lot of times I'm listening to something like this as I'm getting ready in the morning, or I'm watching Parks and Rec. So no, I gotta be real. Some resources for spiritual directors, a couple here. Some of you guys know a dear friend of mine, Alicia Britt Scholey, is a phenomenal spiritual director and has a process that you can go through. There is a cost to that. She does do some. She can do some partial scholarships, and the rest I think you can pull from your double O. Her husband is starting a men's group, I think, in September. Barry is amazing. So you can check that out. Or this other long one that's on your page, it's Selah. It's the one Gil's been going through, leadershiptransformations.org/Selah. I just noticed that they put up Gil on the list as, yes, you're on there. You're on the website. Wow. So he finished his first year. As of his second year, he's allowed to be on there because he's being in training to be a spiritual director. Our own Debbie Gill, I don't know if you know Debbie Gill from AGTS, is a spiritual director through Selah, as are some other folks. If you were at Insight a few years ago, Northeast Insight, Nina Mullett, who spoke to us, is also on that list. So phenomenal stuff there. If you're interested in engaging someone as a spiritual director. Hey, go to your app store for a moment. If you are interested, and punch in Reimagining the Examine. This has been a really rich thing, too. It's just easy and on the go. The Daily Examine that we just walked through, as I mentioned, there's a book. They also have it on an app. It's just super easy just to kind of pray through that. It walks you through kind of the different, I want to say steps or stages, but different questions and stuff like that. I was on a bus from D.C. to New York City once crying like a baby because I was meeting with God. I'm sitting there with my little app, you know what I mean? I've got my face against the window, having this total encounter with God in a bus, you know, somewhere on I-95. So it's, you know, good for if you're on the go. And also one called Praise You Go. Sally Herman, if you know Sally Harb's wife, she loves this one. I've engaged a little bit. But anyway, anything Sally recommends, I recommend. Training, a couple things. I know we're just at the beginnings of introducing stuff to a lot of folks. The leadership transformation that Gil is going through, I'm pretty sure he would recommend it if you want or are interested in that. Also, this is interesting to me. AGTS is starting to explore this area in a new level. This is huge. This is really big. And they're using more language like soul care and stuff. I was talking to Debbie Gil recently about this. They are going to offer a certificate program. They're also going to begin to integrate this in all of their ministry degrees, master's and doctorate level. This is huge because they're saying basically it's not enough that people just get the information. They need to, there needs to be just an experiential kind of thing happening. If we're going to raise up ministers, pastors, missionaries, and send them out, they need to be able to engage and experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in a whole new way, not just like because we're at an altar or during a service. You know what I'm saying? And so they're just taking huge steps. I'm really interested in the certificate program. It's like 4 module classes over 2 years, plus a pilgrimage. I love that. And the one, I think they've got one coming up this year to a lot of Celtic sites, a lot of the ancient Irish sites where Christianity really spread. I missed the one this year where St. Ignatius, where he had his encounter with Christ in Spain, but that would have been great. So I would encourage you guys, if you're interested, talk to me. I think probably if it does get up and running next year, I think I'd like to do that. I think it's so, so great that we're stepping into this. I'm so excited. So I'm just hugely, hugely thrilled about that. Resources, us, me and Gil, there's our emails are there. And then I just want to come back to this, and then I know we got to go. It is, I'm 2 minutes over, but let me say this. Your desire for more of God than you have right now, your longing for love, your need for deeper levels of spiritual transformation than you have experienced so far is the truest thing about you. Amen. 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 Thanks you guys for coming. Gil and I are around.